This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the Fed's expected to raise rates for the second time this year.
AT&T slumps after a judge approves its purchase of Time Warner.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May scrambles to reach a Brexit compromise. We are live in London with the latest.
The world is sorting through the details of yesterday's historic summit between President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un, plus yesterday's primaries. I'm Michael Barr. More coming up.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Swartz. The Yankees are strong pitching from CC Sabathia. Two home runs from D.D. Gregorius shut out the Nationals at the stadium. The Mets lost in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. Futures in the U.S. point to a higher open on Wall Street. The S&P futures right now 3 points higher, up 0.1%. The Dow futures, 19 points higher. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 13 points. That's up 0.2%. The euro at 117.42, slightly down against the dollar. And the yen at 110.64, that's down 0.2% against the greenback. And British pound sterling at $1.3322, that is down 0.4%. We have the 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.95%. The price is up by 2/32. And COMEX gold down $1.80 an ounce at $1,297.60. Bob.
We begin with the first of three central bank policy decisions this week. The Federal Reserve is forecast to bump interest rates higher today amid signs inflation is accelerating. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Economists surveyed this month by Bloomberg anticipate the Fed will tighten for a total of three times this year, the first turn of the screw having been back in March. The second, today, another quarter point increase, part of the central bank's gradualist strategy. Inflation data so far this week indicate the Fed is taking the proper course. May's consumer price index rose at the fastest pace in more than 6 years on an annual basis, but not too fast. Bloomberg Economics says the Fed has been resolute in terms of not overreacting. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. The ECB and BOJ make policy announcements tomorrow and Friday. We will, of course, have complete coverage of this afternoon's Fed decision on both Bloomberg Radio and television beginning at 2 p.m. Wall Street time.
And ahead of the Fed decision, we get another reading on inflation at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast the PPI rose 0.3% in May. And in Europe, the biggest increase in auto fuel prices in more than 7 years helped keep inflation there from continuing its downward path. Consumer price growth stayed at 2.4% in May, as forecast by both the Bank of England and economists surveyed by Bloomberg.
In the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May has dodged a defeat in Parliament with the promise of a Brexit compromise. Let's go to London and get the very latest from Sebastian Salik. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and John. Yes, Theresa May giving her pro-EU rebels a personal assurance that their concerns will be taken into account. Their main demand is a guarantee that the government can't walk away from a Brexit deal without consulting Parliament first. But now May needs to make good on that promise to keep them on side. The difficulty is how she'll do that without enraging the other wing of her party, the pro-Brexit side. One thing's for sure, this reduces the chances of Britain tumbling out of the European Union without a deal. And it could also mean closer ties with the EU. In London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. Now that AT&T prevailed in its takeover of Time Warner, the telecom company is facing an even bigger challenge, reviving a declining television business. That story from Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti.
It took about 20 months to get the $85 billion deal approved. In that time, Netflix became the highest-valued U.S. media company by winning over customers from major cable and satellite companies. But AT&T has a secret weapon. In addition to the entertainment assets it's gaining from Time Warner, like HBO, CNN, and movie studio Warner Brothers, it's betting that more and more customers are going to be watching their TV on mobile devices. By owning both media assets and the means of distribution, AT&T is hoping to replicate the capabilities of Comcast, which acquired NBC Universal in 2011. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Gina. Shares of AT&T down about 2% in early trading, while Time Warner surged 4.5% after the decision was announced.
Shares of H&R Block are down almost 19% in early trading. The tax preparation company forecast 2019 revenue below estimates. The firm also said it didn't see the new client growth it had wanted.
And a couple of movers to tell you about in Europe. An Amsterdam company is soaring in this year's biggest European tech IPO. The Dutch payment processing firm Adyen doubled following its market debut. With the gain, the company has a market value of $15 billion. That's more than Commerzbank. As shares of Dixon Carphone are down more than 3%, the UK electronics retailer says a cyber attack has affected 6 million payments cards.
U.S. sanctions and economic upheaval may take a major toll on the oil market. We get the story from Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora.
In its first detailed forecast for 2019, the International Energy Agency says OPEC members Iran and Venezuela could lose almost 30% of their oil output next year. The IEA says new oil output from outside OPEC, in particular U.S. shale, should be enough to cover growth in demand, but nations such as Saudi Arabia may still need to boost output to compensate for lost supply from other members. OPEC meets next week and will debate whether to restore production it halted last year. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Patrice. Checking oil right now. WTI is down 0.3% at $66.18 a barrel. Brent crude is lower by 0.4% to $75.55.
A slump in Euro area industrial production adding to a series of underwhelming economic data before tomorrow's European Central Bank meeting. Euro area industrial output dropped 0.9% in April, exceeding the 0.7% forecast in a Bloomberg survey.
Tesla is cutting more than 3,000 jobs, about 9% of its workforce. The firings are taking place as the electric car maker struggles its first attempt to mass produce a car, the Model 3 sedan. S&P futures currently down 2 points, 0.1%. The 10-year yield, 2.9516%. Stay tuned for world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Right, thanks, Bob. 5:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said President Trump offered to lift sanctions against his regime when they met yesterday in Singapore. The report from state media contrasts with Trump that the sanctions would remain. Meanwhile, Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull praised President Trump but says his country welcomes the outcome cautiously.
Where will it lead? Will it result in the complete denuclearization of the peninsula? Only time will tell.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is traveling to South Korea to discuss yesterday's historic Trump-Kim summit. Democrats picked up a legislative seat in a Wisconsin special election. Democrats split two races for open seats yesterday, but both seats were previously held by Republicans. In South Carolina's primary, Representative Mark Sanford was defeated by State Representative Katie Arrington. Arrington, who was supported by President Trump, will face Democrat Joe Cunningham in the fall. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's hopeful that President Trump can work out his issues with other G7 countries and strike a deal on trade.
I'm among those who hope that we don't end up in a full-scale trade war, which I think would certainly not be good for our country.
The president walked away from the meeting in Canada last week without signing a joint statement agreed to by the other leaders and allies. Spain's rescue of migrants stranded on the Mediterranean continues. Bloomberg's Charles Pinty is in Madrid.
A new future looms for the migrants of the Aquarius on their way to a new life in Spain. They have now been split up into three vessels as they make their way to the eastern Spanish port of Valencia. It also represents a new departure for Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. The decision to take the migrants allows him to make a grand humanitarian gesture at the start of his new administration. In Madrid, Charles Penty, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Turkey's election this month could go down to the wire, with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan facing a tougher battle to cement power or even an upset. That's according to a poll commissioned by Bloomberg. The survey by Foresight Danis Manik It's found that Erdogan can win the presidential vote in the first round on June 24th with 50.8% support and get the backing of the majority in parliament, but there could be a surprise victory within the margin of error. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
John, CC and DD carried the Yankees. CC Sabathia, another strong outing. He lost once this season. He and the bullpen team in a five-hit shutout. Yankees over the Nationals 3-0. Two-thirds of the offense provided by the Yankee shortstop.
Now here's the payoff. Swung on, drilled to right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. Second deck. Second homer of the game. Yes, indeedy. Oh, this is the dawning of the age of Gregorius.
That's John Sterling, WFAN. Sonny Gray starts tonight. Red Sox won in Baltimore. The Yanks and the Sox still in that virtual tie for first place in the AL East. Mets grabbed the lead in Atlanta sixth inning. Finally, a big hit from Jay Bruce. His double knocked in two runs for a 2-1 lead. Sure enough, the Braves. Two homers in the bottom of the frame, including an Ozzie Albies grand slam. Atlanta 1-8-2. Parades on both coasts. First championship of any kind in Washington, D.C. in 27 years. They came out to honor the Stanley Cup champion Capitals. And third in the last 4 years for the NBA champion Warriors, where Finals MVP Kevin Durant was asked about coming back next year.
Any contract you would like for any amount in any years?
Why was that even a discussion? Why were you even talking about that? Yeah, for sure. We want to do this thing again. All the love and support.
Also from the NBA, Toronto promoted assistant Nick Nurse to replace Dwayne Casey. Fired despite 59 wins, Casey's already landed as the new coach in Detroit. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. Soccer's World Cup begins tomorrow with host Russia taking on Saudi Arabia. Against that backdrop, the world's biggest sport remains uncontested in its popularity. Nielsen Sports annual football report surveyed 18 major markets across the Americas, Europe, Middle East, and Asia, found soccer gaining powerful interest. He had more than 40% of the population. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it's 5:17 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker with this Bloomberg Business Flash. Market's pretty much on hold till the Fed meeting at 2 o'clock Wall Street time today. Dollar rising, treasuries are steady, and emerging market currencies, they are extending a drop. European stocks right now are kind of drifting, and U.S. equity futures a slightly higher. The S&P futures up 3 points. That's up 0.1%. The Dow futures up 16 points right now. The Nasdaq E-mini futures 12 points higher. That's up 0.2%. As look at volatility, still at subdued levels right now. 12.16 for the VIX. That's down 1.5%. The euro, 117.45, unchanged against the greenback. And British pound sterling, as the Brexit debate continues, 133. That's down 0.4% against the U.S. dollar. And the yield on the benchmark 10-year note this morning, 2.95%. The price is up by 2/32. And again, crude oil is lower. NYMEX crude down 19 cents at 66.17. Brent is down 34 at 75.54. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, is Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. A spokesman for South Korean President Moon Jae-in says Washington and Seoul need to consider a variety of ways to further facilitate dialogue while they are engaged in nuclear negotiations with Pyongyang. The comments follow President Trump's summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Trump said that the U.S. and South Korea should stop their joint military exercises as long as we are negotiating in good faith. A second incumbent Republican congressman has lost his seat in a primary. South Carolina Congressman Mark Sanford lost to State Representative Katie Arrington. In sports and baseball, the Yankees beat the Nationals. The Mets lost. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The A's and Giants lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you very much. It's coming up on 520 of Wall Street. Few things in life are certain, but traders think it's certain the Fed is going to hike interest rates today. We're certain John Sylvia is on the line from Wells Fargo this morning. He's the chief economist there. John, good morning to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
So the Fed's also going to update the economic and financial forecasts. We're a little less certain about that. What do you suppose we're going to hear?
Yeah, I think that they will update their GDP forecast, but they probably will not change their inflation forecast. But that combination does suggest that there will be enough members either at this meeting or certainly in the September meeting to add a fourth rate increase this year. But the economy looks very strong. The labor market certainly strong. And you saw yesterday CPI inflation continuing to accelerate. So I think the Fed's going to, again, definitely raise 25 basis points now, September, and possibly December as well.
Do we know the magnitude of the acceleration in the economy at this point?
Well, it does look like you're going to get 4% GDP this quarter and then settling back towards more like 3% for the second half of this year. So definitely an acceleration in economic growth this year relative to last year. Probably sustained for a while in 2019, but after that, we're going to have to see how this whole thing plays out. But definitely 3% growth in 2018, perhaps a little bit less in 2019.
As far as real growth, I mean, how do we factor in the one big variable that has remained kind of elusive in terms of inflation and the wage pressures?
Well, for us, the inflation numbers actually lead the wage numbers. So with the pickup in inflation, you're going to see a pickup in wages going forward. The challenge, as you probably suspect, John, is trying to get some productivity gains so that we can have some real wage gains. We are having modest real wage gains, but nothing to what people had expected in the past.
I had a pretty lengthy discussion on the phone yesterday with Bill Dunkelberg over at the NFIB. Things are going gangbusters for small businesses, but the main concern, again, remains the lack of qualified workers, small businesses looking for them. Does that at some point kind of put brakes on the economy, the lack of skilled labor?
Oh, absolutely. It's the lack of skilled labor, again, trying to increase production. Because remember, we're measuring in terms of GDP growth or industrial production the gains, not just continuing to produce what we do, but actually increasing going forward. And to increase, you need better capital and, of course, better qualified workers to work with that capital. And I think what we're seeing is that a lot of business investment right now is going into equipment simply because we cannot find the workers to do the work.
Other potential potholes for the domestic economy, what would they be?
Well, I think a couple of points are really key. You're going to hear certainly questions on tariffs to Mr. Powell because tariffs have an impact both on the measured inflation rate but also on economic growth and the supply chain. So going back to your question on labor, it's not simply not having the workers to do the work, but now it's a question of where you're going to get the alternative supply for production.
Does the Federal Reserve care about, well, let me rephrase the question. Is the Federal Reserve going to change policy because of pressures on emerging markets?
You know, your point earlier in your roundup was that in emerging markets, the currencies are weakening. The answer probably is not all that much, but there's a lot to be learned from, you know, what happened a few years ago with Chairman Bernanke's comments. And that there was a real shock with emerging market currencies. We know that there are certainly emerging market countries that are having challenges right now with respect to financing their external debt that's denominated in dollars. So, yeah, I think it does put a caution note And we'll probably see that once again in both the Fed statement, but again in the questioning that will come up with Chair Powell, that, the Fed will moderate its views and probably not be so aggressive in 2019 once they've reached what they perceive as a more neutral federal funds rate.
Jerome Powell wants to have a news conference every time around. Is that a good thing?
I think it's a great thing. I think, quite frankly, I've said that both internally and externally. I think the reason basically, John, is you've got a situation now where the markets are really saying there's a high probability of the Fed doing something when he has a conference, mm-hmm. and there's almost zero probability when he doesn't. And I think that really is kind of messing things up a little bit. I'd have a conference after every meeting, and again, you can keep it short and simple, but it'll again, I think, give a okay. more even balance to the market.
John Silvey, Wells Fargo Securities Chief Economist, thanks a lot. 2 p.m., our live coverage on Bloomberg Radio and Television of the Fed decision. And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers at Prime, New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, 5:30 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are in the green ahead of today's policy decision from the Federal Reserve. While the central bank is expected to raise rates, investors will focus on whether its dot plot signals one or two additional hikes this year. We'll bring you live coverage of the decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Ahead of that Fed decision, the government issues the producer price index. Economists forecast that PPI rose 0.3% in May. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
In April, the PPI rose 0.1%, the smallest increase in 4 months. Bloomberg Economics says we'll see tariffs filtering in, with the full impact taking hold later this summer. Data Tuesday pointed to a higher cost of living. The consumer price index rose in May at the fastest pace in more than 6 years on an annual basis, an increase of 2.8%. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you, Vinny. In the UK, a big increase in auto fuel prices helped keep inflation from continuing its downward path last month. Consumer price growth in the UK stayed at 2.4% in May. The pound is trading lower following the data. It is currently at $1.3322.
On the corporate front, AT&T has prevailed in its fight with the Justice Department, clearing the way for its acquisition of Time Warner. Shares of AT&T are down about 2% in early trading. Time Warner is up 4%.
And investors are betting more big deals may follow. Shares of 21st Century Fox are up 6%, as Disney and Comcast are locked in a battle to acquire Fox.
H&R Block shares are down 18% in early trading. On its fourth quarter earnings call, the company said it expects revenue for 2019 below the average analyst estimate.
In Hong Kong, shares of ZTE dived more than 40% today. Trading resumed after the company agreed to pay at least $1 billion in penalties as part of a settlement with the U.S.
And in energy news, Russia plans to propose that OPEC and its allies return to production levels from October 2016. Sources tell Bloomberg the country wants to roll back most, but not all, of the output cuts. Oil prices are lower, with NYMEX down 29 cents a barrel at $66.07. And Brent crude right now is down 48 cents at $75.40 a barrel. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, we have S&P futures right now up 2 points. The Dow futures are up 12 points. The Nasdaq E-mini futures up 11 points on this Fed decision day. We have right now the volatility index down 1.4%. The VIX currently at 12.17. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is heading to South Korea as Asian allies are trying to sort through the implications of the summit in Singapore between President Donald Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Pompeo will meet with President Moon Jae-in tomorrow to discuss the historic meeting. Meanwhile, Trump, who just returned to Maryland from the summit, spoke with Fox's Hannity about Pyongyang.
I just think that we are now going to start the process of denuclearization of North Korea, and I believe that he's going back and will start it virtually immediately.
Air Force One just landed at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland just a few moments ago. Representative Mark Sanford has lost his first race in South Carolina. Sanford was defeated by State Representative Katie Arrington in yesterday's Republican primary. Arrington was supported by President Trump.
It's time to reach out to our friends and our neighbors. And it's time to unite and get to work and win in November.
Arrington will face Democrat Joe Cunningham.
One day, my son's going to be standing eye to eye with me, and he's going to be asking me what I did at this pivotal moment in our country's history.
Cunningham hopes to become the first Democrat elected to the first district since 1978. In Virginia, every Democratic primary where a woman was on the ballot, a woman won the nomination. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is asking a federal judge in Washington to limit the pretrial evidence shared with a Russian firm that's been indicted for meddling in the election. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons reports.
Mueller's legal team is arguing handing over the volumes of evidence to actors accused of producing propaganda would help Russia and other foreign operatives launch future operations against the U.S. According to the filing, improper disclosure would tip our adversaries to how the U.S. operates, and that would allow them to adjust their techniques and conduct and undermine future U.S. national security operations. Prosecutors say the evidence includes documents naming U.S. residents who were unwittingly recruited by Russians to engage in political activity in the U.S. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
John, it's already been an up-and-down season for D.D. Gregorius, as someone once said, riding high in April, shot down in May. That's life. Through April, Didi was batting .327, 10 home runs, 30 runs driven in. He was the AL Player of the Month. Then came May, a .151 average, one homer, five RBIs. June figured to be somewhere in between, and last night was a lot like April. Pair of solo home runs, and the Yankees 3-0 win over Washington. CC Sabathia and three relievers teamed on the five-hit shutout. Sabathia needs 107 more strikeouts to be the 17th member of the 3,000 career strikeout club. Last night, he became the fifth to strike out 1,500 batters as a Yank, joining Andy Pettit, Whitey Ford, Ron Guidry, and Red Ruffing. Same two teams tonight, Sonny Gray for the Bombers, who on Friday will start 23-year-old Jonathan Loaisiga, who began the season pitching in Class A ball. Mets started a 10-game road trip with an 8-2 loss in Atlanta. They took the lead top of the sixth inning, promptly gave up six runs in the bottom of the sixth. Zach Wheeler took the loss. He's now 2-5. They'll play a day game today. Tomorrow, Shinnecock Hills on Long Island. It's the opening round of the U.S. Open. Injuries have caused Tiger Woods to miss three of the last four.
Yeah, I've missed playing the U.S. Open. Our nation's title, it's meant so much to me and my career, and obviously USGA, what it has done for golf. This was the biggest event you could win. Growing up as win a USGA event. I've won it nine times. It's pretty special. So looking forward to playing this week. I've really missed playing U.S. Opens, and this will be another fun test.
Won the U.S. Open three times. The other six titles he mentioned came as an amateur. Tiger tees off 147 tomorrow. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover story on how Toys R Us became private equity's biggest mistake. Also in this week's issue, how supporting Italy's seniors hurts the country's economy. Peter Coy wrote that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
I think behind this surprising victory in March for the two really extreme parties is this sense of malaise.
And you could read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. 5:38 on Wall Street, and it's time now for the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, and we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. The U.S. Open Golf Tournament is in the Hamptons for the first time in 14 years, and owners of lavish vacation homes near the Shinnecock Hills Golf Club have been piling their properties on the rental market for short-term stays. The median rent sought by owners listing Shinnecock Hills properties in May for short-term leases was $10,000. It's about 25% more than a year ago. A shuttered Atlantic City casino that was the gambling resort's biggest flop is getting ready for a second chance. The former Revel Casino cost $2.4 billion to build. It lasted just over 2 years. It's set to reopen June 28th as the Ocean Resort Casino. And New Haven-based Alexion Pharmaceuticals has signed a deal with Complement Pharma. The companies will co-develop Complement's treatment for neurodegenerative disorders. Deal gives Alexion a chance to acquire Amsterdam-based Complement down the road. That's your Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Time to check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on rising prospects for approval of CVS's Aetna takeover.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WoWo listeners in Fort Wayne about the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy's findings on just how charitable we are.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on Comcast, Disney, and Fox now that a judge says yes to the AT&T Time Warner merger.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on how the BOE is putting banks on a war footing against cyber attacks.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that the grocery company SuperValue plans to reorganize its corporate structure into a holding company.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Tesla's Elon Musk is handing out pink slips that affect about 9% of his workforce.
Yeah, those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. Blackstone Group has raised $9.4 billion to speed up its investment in the Asia-Pacific region. The president of the alternative asset manager, Jonathan Gray, says that China and Japan are the target areas. He says Blackstone is looking at real estate, private equity, and other opportunities in Asia. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures right now, 2 points higher. Daybreak brought to you by Command Financial. Business is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer staying ahead of the curve? Learn how Command Financial is evolving, not only with the times, but with your business requirements. Visit CommandFinancial.com today.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Yeah, it is 5:47 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker with this Bloomberg Business Flash. As we look to Europe, stocks there are drifting, along with the U.S. equity futures. Asian shares, they slipped. Markets largely in a holding pattern ahead of the Federal Reserve rate decision. That comes down at 2 o'clock Wall Street time, and we will have live coverage on both Bloomberg Television and Bloomberg Radio. The dollar is rising, treasuries steady, and emerging market currencies, they're extending a drop ahead of the Fed decision today. The Stocks Europe 600 index, that opened at the green. Miners and tech companies led a broad advance there. The gains, though, modest, and that gauge pairing to trade little changed at this point. Japanese shares, they rose as the yen dipped. And in the U.S., S&P futures right now up 2 points. The Dow futures 14 points higher, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures, they are up 10 points right now, up about a tenth of a percent. The euro 117.48, the yen 110.63, down 0.2% against the dollar, and sterling 133 right now, that's down 0.3%. 10-year yield in the U.S. 2.95%. The price is up by 1/32. And again, crude oil is lower this morning. NYMEX crude down 26 cents a barrel at 66.10. Brent crude is down 46 cents a barrel at 75.42. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now with more what's on going on around the world, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Russia is welcoming the outcome of the summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says one can only welcome the fact that such a meeting took place and that direct dialogue was begun. A Republican congressman who's been a critic of President Trump is conceding his primary battle. South Carolina Representative Mark Sanford told supporters last night, quote, "I'm going to lose this race. Hours before the polls closed, President Trump tweeted his endorsement of Sanford's opponent, State Representative Katie Arrington. Arrington will now face Democrat Joe Cunningham in the fall. In sports and baseball, the Yankees beat the Nationals. The Mets lost. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The A's and Giants lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael, very much. It is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. And Jen, good morning. Marcus Ashworth thinks in his column that the ECB should seize the day and call time on QE.
That's right. What he identifies is a pretty big dilemma that ECB President Mario Draghi faces. So on the one hand, if he were to announce the timetable to end quantitative easing, that comes up against some serious political problems among some of the member nations in Europe. Or if he were to fudge the outlook for bond purchases in case more stimulus is needed, that would really alienate some of the hawks on the governing council. It's worth mentioning that 46% of economists surveyed by Bloomberg News say early June as the end date doesn't really look like it's going to be the case. It's more going to be July.
Okay, straighten me out here. From a monetary perspective, it really makes no difference whether the ECB makes the announcement in June or July, right?
Yeah, that is exactly right. I mean, this was a survey of economists that Bloomberg News conducted. But Marcus Ashworth's point is that it's incredibly important for investor sentiment. You've had the governing council, certain members, the hawkish members, really stoking expectations that an announcement on the timetable for QE is going to end soon. And it's going to come soon. And that was really nailed on once chief economist Peter Pret said that a discussion was warranted. So if the ECB looks across the channel and sees what happened to the Bank of England once Governor Mark Carney engaged in his own communications whipsaw, creating a nasty shock for the markets, that's something that hopefully Mario Draghi and his colleagues would really want to avoid. There's a further point that there's an enormous political opportunity here. I mean, Italian politics and Greek politics are probably as calm as they're going to get. So given that situation, it's probably just as well to just get on with it.
Okay, and there is an even more important decision being made tomorrow, other than the ECB, according to some. That would be the start of the World Cup in Russia. And Leonid Bershitsky writes about this. Should we be overly surprised that it's turned out to be very expensive?
I mean, yes, that is a fair comment, because Russia was the spender for the most expensive Winter Olympics in 2014 that came out at $51 billion. So you would have thought there some lessons would have been learned there and the cost would have been a bit lower.
Some lessons would have been learned. Is this just how things are in Russia?
It does look like it, because inflated cost accounting on government projects turns out to be one of the most biggest sources of private wealth. The country doesn't seem designed to build things cheaply. So one can only hope that the matches that are coming up are going to be worth the gold-plated seats in the stadiums.
Okay. Jen Ryan in London, thank you very much. And you can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. And on the Bloomberg terminal by typing O-P-I-N, go. John.
Hi, thanks, Bob. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time now for our Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by the American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Drug enforcement authorities, import controls, and safe handling rules would be modified under several of the opioid-related bills scheduled for House floor consideration. The Senate is considering a more than $700 billion defense authorization bill for fiscal 2019 and plans to amend the House-passed version. And the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers represents government employees. It is pushing to boost membership rates ahead of a Supreme Court decision in a case over the right of public sector workers to refuse to pay union fees.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal news. Let's take a closer look at the rollback of Obama-era net neutrality rules, which barred broadband providers from slowing or blocking internet traffic. For more on the story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr.
Brendan, if the FCC is notified of service providers blocking, throttling, or pay-to-play deals, what will it do?
You know, consumers are passionate about a free and open internet, and that doesn't change today with our decision. If a provider does engage in that conduct, as you just described, that's going to remain unlawful. What shifts is now the Federal Trade Commission, the nation's premier consumer protection agency, will be taking that enforcement action as opposed to the FCC taking the action.
Nine states so far have enacted net neutrality laws, or governors have signed executive orders, and there's pending legislation in other states. How does a patchwork of rules affect the national picture that the FCC voted for?
Well, I think one thing it shows is the tremendous amount of common ground that there actually is here on net neutrality. There's not a lot of disagreement about what the basic rules of the road is. No blocking, no discriminating, no broken promises. Your point also goes to, though, should there be a patchwork of state laws that do that, or should we have one national law? For my part, I would certainly support Congress stepping in and codifying these basic rules of the road that there's really no disagreement about.
So you mentioned that you would support Congress. The Senate has already passed a resolution to reinstate the 2015 rules with bipartisan support. Democrats are less than 50 votes from advancing a resolution in the House. What's your reaction to that?
Yes, that's one effort that we're seeing in Congress that I don't support, and here's why. That approach would restore the 2015 Title II-based approach to net neutrality. There's actually other bills that have been introduced in Congress, in particular by some Republicans, that would take those rules, those basic rules of the road that we all agree about, and enshrine those into law. I think that's a better way to go. Let's get those basic consumer protections that there's no real disagreement about in place, but let's not go back to this Title II regulatory regime that imposes a lot of negative consequences in terms of investment and deployment.
That's FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy Powered Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. Also find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Bob.
It is 5:56 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg ETF report, and here's Bloomberg's Julie Hyman.
The biggest momentum ETF is rebalancing. Tom Sarafagas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here. MTUM is the one we're talking about. And what's this rebalancing look like?
You know, this is for really those ETF nerds out there. Now, this rebalance is not as big as, say, the S&P 500s or the Russells, but this is the biggest momentum ETF. It's got over $9 billion in assets, and it rebalances twice a year. It rebalanced at the end of May, and holistically what happened is it pulled in a lot more tech names. Tech's been doing really well. On the flip side, it kicked out a lot of financial stocks. But just to kind of pick up some names that got put into it, Obiomed, which is a big biotech company, Domino's Pizza also got added into MTUM.
And so the idea behind this is that things that have done well will continue to do well, basically, right?
Yeah, correct. So this is more kind of a trend is your friend type of product. So it really tries to identify stocks that have been performing really well, and they hope that that trend persists. And then on the flip side, it looks to kick out stocks that have not been doing so well.
All right, MTUM rebalancing. Thank you so much, Tom. With the Bloomberg ETF report, I'm Julie Hyman.
Thanks, Julie. And on this Fed decision day, ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 31, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures up 16 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.